All right, well, good morning, everybody. Hope you got a Bible, and let's turn to the third book of the Bible, which is Leviticus. Yes, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and what is God's number of completion? Number 7. Let's go to chapter 7. So Leviticus chapter 7, and we're going to read 3 verses this morning, and if you do a little Bible study, you ought to know that you can look up words and find where certain words occur, and you ought to pay close attention to the first time particular words show up in your Bible. So we're going to look this morning at the first time the word Thanksgiving is mentioned. And it's over here in verse 12 of chapter 7 of Leviticus. So let's read chapter 7, verse 11, and we'll read through verse 13. 3 verses here. Verse 11, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering." So you see that word thanksgiving a couple times there in verse 12, and then you see it again in verse 13. So the message is the sacrifice of thanksgiving this morning. We're going to take some, Lord willing, take some things out of this passage that will hopefully help all of us out this morning. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to have your word go forth. And we count it a great privilege every time we're here and that happens. And we ask for you this morning to have your way, Lord God. We pray that you would just take away any kind of distractions, any kind of things that would cause us to not pay attention to what you have to say. And I certainly don't want to say things I shouldn't. I pray that my heart and my mouth just want to yield that to you right now. And I pray that I would just be a vessel in your hands and not be any kind of hindrance this morning. We just want to pray for you, Lord God, to get the glory. And we pray for your word to do a great work in all of our hearts this morning. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you're in the book of Leviticus. And I mentioned in Sunday school this morning in the back how you're in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Leviticus, and you're reading something that is not addressed to the church of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? When you read your Bible, you ought to ask this question. Good little way to put this. You need to ask the question, whose mail am I reading? M-A-I-L. Whose mail am I reading? And when you're in the book of Leviticus, you're reading mail that is addressed specifically to the Israelites. But let's go a little further. It's addressed to a certain group of Israelites. You know who they are? The Levites. What book are we in? Leviticus. Leviticus. So the Levites are specifically addressed. And you should know that the Levites were the priests of Israel. Okay, I have never done this. At least I can't remember ever doing this. I don't know if you have or not. You're not supposed to do this. But if you ever read your neighbor's mail, not supposed to do that, but if you ever did on accident, you would learn something, possibly, that you did not previously know. But the information contained in the piece of mail, if you had a letter addressed to your neighbor and you're reading it, you would find out some information that maybe you didn't know, but it wouldn't be as personal as it is to the person who it was written to, right? So we're reading this morning mail that is addressed to the Levites, but guess what? God preserved this for me and you. God preserved the Old Testament just like he did the New Testament. And there's something for me and you to learn, even though this is not addressed specifically to us. And let me just give you an example. Nobody here that I know of has ever offered an animal sacrifice to the Lord. And you'd be wasting your time if you ever did. But did you know that in this time we're in here, this is about 1500 BC. In this time, if a person wanted to be right with God, guess what they had to bring to the temple? An animal sacrifice. That animal had to die and its blood had to be shed. And this whole book is about it, Leviticus. So you want to keep that in mind as we read here. So go down there to verse 11. I'm going to give you the outline and then I'll go through each one of these things. I always try to go with 3 points. And if you take a look at verse 11, it says this is the law. We're going to talk about the law this morning. And then at the end of verse 11, it says, he shall offer unto the Lord. We're going to talk about the Lord here for a moment. And then if you go down there to verse 12, it talks about unleavened cakes And then verse 13, it talks about leavened bread. So we're going to talk about leaven. So we got the law, the Lord, and leaven. So let's talk about the law for a moment here. Notice verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. You're reading a book that was written by the man called the lawgiver, Moses. That's the man that God used to write the book of Leviticus. In fact, the first five books of your Bible. And God's laws, folks, God's laws are of utmost importance. God gave us laws so that we would obey and keep them, right? But if you're honest here this morning, you're honest with God, you are a lawbreaker. And if you are a lawbreaker, you're in trouble. So I will not give you details, but I have been in trouble with the law a couple times. Nothing major. It's usually been with the policeman when I've been in the car. And he turns his lights on because I've got speeding tickets. One time, this was really foolish, when I was in college, I'm on a two-lane road, and there's a guy in front of me going slower than I wanted him to, so I passed him. And it was a no-passing zone, and when I got on the side of the car, I realized it was an unmarked police car. And I got on around the front of him, and here come the lights. I got a ticket for passing in a no-passing zone. I got a ticket here about a year ago, and it was another traffic ticket. I was just not thinking. And the last traffic ticket I got, I thought to myself, well, I didn't really know if I should do this or not. What I did, I should have stopped and I didn't. And I was thinking, I really didn't know. If I had told the police officer I didn't know, how would that have gone? He would have said, you should have known because it's the law. So every one of those situations, the speeding a couple times over my driving years, passing a no-passing zone, and then the failure to stop here about a year ago. Guess what happened in every one of those cases? I was declared guilty, and it cost me something. And it wasn't cheap either. If you paid a traffic ticket in recent years, it's a lot. I know the one I got, the first one I ever got, well over 20 years ago, 25 years ago now, was well under $100. You're not going to get a traffic ticket today that's under $100. In fact, you're looking at $200 plus in most cases. So I say all that to remind all of us that there is a law that God has given us. And if you are honest, you are a lawbreaker. There's the bad news, folks. Let's go and see why that's the case. Go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to be all over the place this morning. As usual, keep your finger in Leviticus. We'll be back. Go to Romans chapter 5. Why is it that we're all prone to break the law? And this may be basic, but it's a good reminder for all of us. We are all guilty, and we are all prone to break the law. If you look at Romans 5, should be familiar verse here, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Your Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Now, let me just stop right there. Who's that one man referred to in Romans 5:12? Help me out here. That'd be Adam. The first man and woman, Adam and Eve, they were told to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they did. And it may not seem like a serious offense, the fact that they ate something that they were told not to eat, but God takes His law seriously. Folks, it doesn't matter if I don't think it's serious. If God said to do something a certain way and you do it the opposite way, you are guilty of breaking the law. You say, well, it's not that big of a deal. To God, it is. If God said, thou shalt not, then you and I shalt not. And if we decide to break the law, we are going to be guilty of the law. Look at the payment here. Romans 5:12, as by one man sin entered into the world, and what's the payment? Death by sin. Here's even more bad news for me and you. And so death passed upon who? All men, for that all have sin. Okay, so God gave the law, and man is guilty of breaking the law. That's not good news. But go back here to Leviticus, and you'll see that way back here in the Old Testament. Aren't you glad for this? The Lord made a way for a guilty sinner to be made right with God. Aren't you glad for that? Now, in the Old Testament, this is why you ought to be so thankful you live in the day you live in. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, they're told specifics on animal sacrifices and offerings they were to bring to God. And it had to be done exactly the way God said to. But here's a problem. A man would sin and bring an offering before the Lord, and his sins would be put away. But you know what would happen after he brought the offering? Another sin. So you know what he's going to have to do? He's going to have to bring another animal. And another sin. And You see how this works? Continually, if you're an Israelite in the Old Testament, you were continually having to bring a sacrifice for your sin. It wasn't one time and it was done. Now, we don't have time this morning to go to the book of Hebrews, but if you go there, you'll see that Jesus Christ offered himself once for all. No more sacrifice for sin. Amen. But let's take a little trip back here to the Old Testament and see what these people were under at the time before Jesus Christ. Look at Leviticus 1. As you read here, I want you to look for pictures of the one who would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, to make the final payment for sin. Remember, the law is a shadow. Hebrews says a shadow of things to come. So when you read Leviticus, you ought to, as we were talking in Sunday school this morning, dig some treasure out and see there's some things that connect what is said here in Leviticus to the Lord Jesus Christ. See if you can catch it as we go. Look at verse 1, Leviticus 1:1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. Now, verse 3 is going to have some pictures here. Watch them. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Remember that, a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. This is God's law, folks. I'm going to read the next few verses in a moment, but look at verse 3. Do you see, under the Old Testament law, there's a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ who had not come yet, but he would come. Notice it says they had to offer a male without what? The Lord Jesus Christ, a male, without sin, without blemish, right? Notice the next thing it says they had to offer it. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Does the Lord make anybody get saved? No, you got to acknowledge God has a law. I am a lawbreaker, but God made a way for me to be made right. You have to do it God's way, and God wouldn't force a man to do this. This was a man's voluntary will to bring the offering. Notice what else it says here. Watch the wording. Of his own voluntary will at the, what's it say in verse 3? At the door. The door. Hello, John 10. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You see the connections there? Now go on here, verse 4. Look what they had to do with the sacrifice they brought. Verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So there's all those details there about bringing the sacrifice so that a man could have his sins forgiven in the Old Testament. And as I mentioned before, today we no longer have to bring an animal sacrifice. Aren't you glad for that? A lot of you here have pets. Can you imagine having to bring your pet and think about the animals they brought? They were their own animals that they brought, the lambs and the goats and so forth. They would have to bring of their own and offer that before the Lord. You love your pets, don't you? Can you imagine that animal having to be brought before the high priest so that he could offer that animal on behalf of your sins? What'd that animal do wrong? Animal didn't do a thing wrong. I'm the guilty one. But somebody, think about this, the wages of sin is what? Death. Somebody has to die because of sin. And in the Old Testament, God allowed them to offer an animal sacrifice as the innocent substitute for their sins. Okay, but then the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. And he is, as John said in John chapter 1, Behold, the Lamb of God, here's the good part, that taketh away the sin of the world. That's everybody in here. That's everybody outside of here. And he offered himself so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. Amen? See, God's law, if you violate it, there's a consequence. But God, in his mercy, grace, and love, makes a way for man to be forgiven in spite of being a guilty sinner. Amen? Real quick, you know this verse, but let's go over there. Go to Romans 5. Romans 5. The Lord, I'm putting it plainly here, the Lord is good, amen? You ought to thank God. We'll get to the Thanksgiving part here in a moment. You ought to thank God that you're saved if you are saved. God made a way for you. And the way for you was the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Go to Romans 5 and look at verse 8. Here's God's great love for us sinners. Romans 5, 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All right, go back to Romans 3. And let's take a look at this. You kind of got to get the negative part, and then God gives you the positive part. Go to Romans 3. Look down there at verse 19, and you'll see something here about the law. And you'll also see what the Lord did, even for one who broke the law. Look at Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become what? Guilty before God. Okay, if we stop there, we're in trouble, aren't we? We are guilty before God. Look at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of what? Okay, when you read your Bible and you read God's laws, if you're honest, you will say, there is no way that I can ever measure up to what God expects me to measure up to. I could never keep all these laws. And there's the bad news. But then look at verse 21. Here's the good news. But now, the righteousness of God, what's that next word? Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What is that? How do I get that righteousness? Look at the next verse. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Is that you? Are you in that belief group right there? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you realized what a guilty sinner you are because you've broken God's law? But have you also realized what Jesus Christ, who, by the way, never broke the law? He's the only one that never did. You realize what He did on behalf of us sinners? That's God's great love for us. Go over to Galatians chapter 3. I'll show you this one. I'll show you the negative with the law and then the positive with Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ did so much for you? Have you thanked Him for it lately? There's a great place to start with Thanksgiving. If you are saved, you ought to thank God daily for what Jesus Christ did for you. It's a great place to start. If you start there, I would be willing to bet that the Lord would give you a whole lot more things to be thankful for. Because that's the greatest thing, isn't it? All right, go to Galatians 3 and look at verse 10. Talking about the law here, it says there in verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under what? You mean anybody who can't keep the law is cursed? That's what it says. Under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I haven't gone into this, but let me just tell you real quick. If you want to measure yourself according to God's law, just take the Ten Commandments. Commandment number one. What is it? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How you been doing on that one? You don't have to answer. You ever put anything before God? Ever? Ever put anything else in place of God before God? If you're honest, you have. All right, you go down the list there. You ever use the Lord's name in vain? Don't answer. Don't answer. You go down that list there. You ever lie? You ever cheat? You ever steal? Don't answer. But if you're honest, you are guilty. Now, let's say you only broke one of those. James 2:10 says, if a man's offended in one part of the law, he's guilty of the whole thing. That's the bad news. But look here at Galatians 3:13. Here's the good news. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of... And how did He do it? Look what it tells you. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that would be the Lord Jesus Christ did that. So folks, the law, let's go back here to Leviticus. The law, which is given here in your Old Testament, God takes it seriously. And God wants you to first and foremost acknowledge that you are guilty of being a lawbreaker. But He doesn't stop there. God made a way. So let's go to the second point here. Let's talk about the Lord here for a minute. What the Lord did. If you notice there back in Leviticus 7, I'm going to go back over there and then we'll be in chapter 3 here in a minute. But go back there to 7:11, Leviticus 7:11, and it says, this is the law. This is the way God said for it to be. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer. And notice the words, unto who? Unto the Lord. Now this is the peace offering. And I'll just say a few things about peace here while we're on it. The world lacks peace right now, don't they? And since the world has no peace, they're not going to be thankful. Did you notice there in verse 11? The law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and then in verse 12, if he offer it for a thanksgiving. Folks, peace and thanksgiving go together. The reason the world has no way to give thanks, or they don't really think about giving thanks, is because they have no peace. Now, I'll talk more about that in a moment. Let's talk about the Lord here for a minute. Go back to chapter 3 of Leviticus about this peace offering and see what the Lord did so that these Israelites could be made right in spite of their sin. Go back to Leviticus 3. And I know when you read through this, you're thinking, man, there sure is a lot of death in the book of Leviticus. It's a lot of animals being slain. And what you want to remember is that is the price of sin. Sin demands a payment. The wages of sin is death. So go to Leviticus 3, and let's take a look at some more detail on this peace offering that's mentioned in chapter 7. It says, verse 1, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it, there it is again, without blemish. And who's he to offer it before? This is given to the Lord. This is not done on behalf of anybody else. This is given before the Lord. Look at verse 2. You'll see some similarities to what we read earlier in chapter 1. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now watch the last part. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Did you notice there in verse 2, there had to be blood sprinkled upon the altar or else the peace offering would not be accepted. Did you catch that? No blood, no peace offering. Now that's in the Old Testament. But the same is true for me and you today. Watch it. Go to Colossians in your New Testament. Talking about the Lord here and what he did for me and you. With us being sinners, go to Colossians chapter 1. I know we're looking at a lot of places here, but I always say it, and it's worth saying again. This is how you learn the Bible. You've got to compare Scripture. So go to Colossians 1. Over there in the Old Testament, the peace offering, there had to be blood offered before the Lord, the blood of that innocent animal. Take a look at what Colossians chapter 1 says concerning the offering made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19, speaking of Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him should all fullness dwell. Now watch verse 20. And having made, what's the word? Peace through the blood of his cross. Folks, the way to peace with God is to recognize that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. His blood's not the same as mine. His blood is sinless blood. Peter called it the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. If you keep going here, it says, peace through the blood of his cross in verse 19, by him to reconcile, great Bible word, reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now watch 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You know, verse 21 tells you what you were before you got saved. It says there, alienated and enemies of God in your mind because of the wicked works you committed. But what happened? What did the Lord do here? The Lord made reconciliation possible. And there's only one way, folks. It's through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. No other way. So let's connect this thing with peace and blood right there. Go to Philippians chapter 4, back to the left here, a book. Philippians, and let's take a look at this thing about peace and thanksgiving. So we got to have the blood of Jesus Christ to have peace. What's this thing about the peace offering connected with thanksgiving? And this is how you see your Old Testament, New Testament go hand in hand. We saw peace and thanksgiving in the Old Testament there. Look at it here in the New Testament. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now watch verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, that verse 7 is worth reading again. Folks, the peace of God is available. Look what it says. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, there's only one way to have the peace of God. It's to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize the payment He made on your behalf, though you were a sinner. Isn't that something? I love that verse 7. The peace which passeth all understanding. If you're saved, you have a peace. And one of the Lord's titles is the Prince of Peace, right? You have a peace that the world can't even understand. They say, why does that person have peace? Okay, think about the last, I guess we're 8 months now, since March. Think about the last 8 months. Have you been a little stressed out from time to time? I have, I'll be honest. But at the same time, when I get back to my Bible, I realize I got nothing to worry about. Here's some things that got to happen leading up to the rapture and then tribulation. It's just going to have to be that way. And I just happen to be, and you just happen to be still alive in this time where we could be that generation of people that never died and go up in the rapture. Now see, there's where you have peace while the world is just out of their mind. And I mean literally. Have you noticed? I caution you about watching news, but have you noticed the lunacy, the absolute lunacy coming out of the mouths of scientists, so-called, and politicians in the last 8 months? They're literally out of their mind. You know what they don't have? They don't have the peace which passes all understanding. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the leading scientist throughout this whole thing, Dr. Fauci, you know what he needs? He needs the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that if he got to know the Lord Jesus Christ, some things might start coming out of him that made sense instead of changing his mind all the time about things. And all that goes for all these scientists. I'm telling you, in the last 8 months, the world's going crazy and Christians ought to be going, it's getting closer, it's getting closer. And that, what enables you to do that? The peace of God which passes all understanding. Isn't that something? See, we've been talking about this for years. The rapture, the mark of the beast, after the rapture and all this stuff. You're seeing all this stuff being all prepared right now, aren't you? You're seeing it all prepared. What a reason to rejoice. Amen? The world can just continue to go crazy. Christians ought to be rejoicing more and more by the day. Amen? All right, didn't mean to go off on all that, but I think that we needed that. At least I did. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. I don't know about you, I need to be reminded about how good we got it. I tell you, I'll just be completely honest with something that happened this past week. We're in the car on the way to work, and I've been really upset about something here lately with work. And Sherry asked me, so anything good happen? Yeah. And it was just, oh, man. Because in the midst of chaos, the saved ought to be rejoicing. The saved ought to be, and this is me, I should have been thinking about how much, in the midst of all this craziness, how much I need the Lord. How much, yeah, if I try to fix all these problems, I'm going to fail. But if I just trust the Lord, He'll take care of these issues. And I've seen the Lord. I've been around long enough, and I've got people been around a lot longer than me. You've seen the Lord in impossible situations, haven't you? And then the Lord will put you in another impossible situation. And you'll sit there and you'll think, I don't know what I'm going to do this time. You forgot about what the Lord did before. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, this one will hit you between the eyes, so prepare yourself. Look at verse 18. Philippians 5, or I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians we are. 1 Thessalonians, if I said Philippians. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. This is a tough one, folks, but it's in your Bible. In everything, give what? What if it's not fair? In everything, give thanks. What if you put all your efforts into something and it didn't turn out the way you intended to? God must know better, right? Maybe it's because you tried and you didn't allow the Lord to do something. You saw your efforts instead of letting Him do it. In everything, give thanks. Notice the rest of the verse. For this is the what? It is God's will for everybody in here who's saved to give thanks no matter what happens. You can't do that in your flesh. Your flesh is going to whine and complain and talk about how unfair the Lord is. Oh, the Lord. Yeah, you'll blame it on the Lord, won't you? I've done it. And then you've got to turn and look and say, no, I'm the problem. The Lord's not the problem. I'm the problem. Thank you, Lord, for putting me in these situations again where I know I can't fix a problem because now you're the only one that can do something. See, God's going to continually put you in situations that you can't control so that your dependence is 100% on Him. I'm reminded of that constantly. The Lord's just kind of got to get me in these situations every few weeks here where He's just a reminder to me, you can't do this. Therefore, you must rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over. Notice the rest of the verse. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And everything give thanks. That's a good one right there. Let's go back there to Leviticus and let's get this last point here. We have the law, which if we measure ourselves by the law, we're all in trouble. But enter the Lord Jesus Christ, who did something for me and you, so we don't have to be guilty sinners before God. We can be righteous before God through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, resurrection. Let's get this last point here about unleavened and leavened cakes and bread. It's very interesting here in verse 12 and 13. Last few minutes here we'll spend on that. Look at verse 12. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Notice there's three things here. Unleavened cakes mingled with oil, there's one. And unleavened wafers anointed with oil, there's two. And cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Getting hungry yet? So there's some things there. Notice that this offering, this law of a sacrifice of peace offerings, a thanksgiving offering, there's no blood involved here. Did you notice that? And not all of the offerings required an animal sacrifice. This is something connected with food. And I think there's a good reason for this. Anytime you see bread mentioned in your Bible, you ought to think about what it's a picture of. All right, man, the Lord Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, as I read verse 12, and there's a whole lot I don't understand about verse 12, but as I read it, and I see the word thanksgiving, and then I see the unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and the unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and then the cakes mingled with oil, I am reminded how I ought to be thankful every day for God's words. And I'll tell you see the bread, the different types of bread there, and you see them anointed and mingled with oil. We don't have time for this morning, but if you'll study oil in your Bible, you know what it's a picture of? The Holy Spirit of God. So you know what you got right here in your hands? You got a book that was given to you because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, folks, they always go together. They go hand in hand. Genesis 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Genesis 1, 2. Genesis 1, 3. And God said, let there be light. See, the Spirit of God and God's spoken word and then His written word, they go hand in hand all the time. So when I read verse 12, and again, there's a lot I don't understand about the verse, but what I do understand is there's a thanksgiving offering. There's bread mingled with oil there. And if there's one thing that a saved person ought to be thankful for outside of your salvation, it ought to be for God's Word and God's Holy Spirit. Folks, if you did not have God's Word, you'd be in the dark. If you didn't have the Spirit of God, you'd be in the dark. What happens when you walk around in the dark? Fortunately, I've done it before. Try to find your way around the dark. What happens? You trip and fall and you can get hurt. God left you with a light. God left you with His perfectly preserved Word. God left you with the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, where's the Holy Spirit, folks? In you. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, they work together so that you can be led by God. All right? Let's look at some verses here on leaven. This thing about leaven. Go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 5. I'll just tell you that leaven in your Bible is a picture of a couple things. Leaven in your New Testament, you'll see it's a picture of sin, and it's also a picture of false doctrine. What kind of cakes were offered over there in Leviticus? Unleavened. That would be pure and without false doctrine. Have the real doctrine. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 5. And you'll see a mention of leaven over here again. This is where you see things in your Old Testament and things in your New Testament. They go hand in hand. Look at 1 Corinthians 5, 6. Think about leaven being a picture of sin and or false doctrine. Look at verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little what? Leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Folks, sin always starts small, doesn't it? And then what happens? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the whole thing is contaminated. The whole thing is corrupted. Look at verse 7. Look at the instruction here given by Paul. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So when I see that mention of leaven there and getting rid of, purging out the old leaven, and then I look at Leviticus there and I see the unleavened cakes offered, I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ made me righteous before Him without sin and put the Holy Spirit of God in me so I could be led, and gave me a copy of His perfectly preserved Word so I could be led. All those things I ought to be thankful for. This is the Thanksgiving offering that they were told to offer. Now keep going here. Look at verse 8. And you'll get a little bit more on this leaven. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, watch it, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, you know what the world's looking for right now? They're looking for somebody to tell them the truth. You got all these news stations, all these publications, and they're all a bunch of liars. God's given you His truth. And again, this is why the world's in a tailspin, but the saved ought to be rejoicing because you've got the truth. You see, all these other people don't have it. They can't find it anywhere. They're not looking in the right place, are they? You got the truth in God's Word here. All right, so that leaven. I noticed that leaven connected with sin and false doctrine. And then we're supposed to have those unleavened cakes. I have a book that is free of any kind of contamination. I got a book that is pure. I got a book that has zero false doctrine in it. You want to read a little bit more on this? Matthew 16 will talk to you about the leaven of the Pharisees and how they had false doctrine. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, beware of that. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. They do one thing and say another. All had it all backwards. All right, let's go over to your, go a little further in your New Testament. Go to 1 John. Now, did you notice? I won't go back over there to show you, but in Leviticus, if you've got your finger there, you can look. In verse 12, it had unleavened bread. And then in verse 13, do you notice what kind of bread it had over there? Did you see it? In verse 13, it says, His offering shall be leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hold on, what's going on here? Unleavened or leaven? Which is it here? There's a great truth here. If you're saved, don't miss it. Look at 1 John chapter 1. And I want you to think about, if you're saved, how you are free from sin before Almighty God. But you know what you're still carrying around? You're carrying around this sinful flesh. Look at it. Look at 1 John 1, 7. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son... Watch it. You got to love this verse here. Cleanseth us from... Is there a single sin that the blood of Jesus Christ won't take away? No way. Aren't you glad for that? There's not a single sin that the blood of Jesus Christ can't wash away. Amen. Now look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now hold on a second. If you're saved... The Lord looks at you like you have no sin, doesn't He? He looks at you as righteous. You got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We saw that over in Romans. But then He says there in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceivers. Which is it? Keep going here. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, there it is again, all unrighteousness. Look at 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Hold on. Are you confused here? Don't be confused. It does look like, okay, we're righteous, but then we're sinners. Which is it? Are we righteous before God or are we sinners? Notice the context. That verse 7 has to do with our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, you don't have to worry about paying for your own sins. Amen? They're paid for. God's given you His righteousness. However, if you looked at a picture of yourself from 20 years ago, you would see that you're carrying around a sinful body. It's not getting any better, is what I'm saying. No offense to anybody here, but you see the pictures 20 years ago, you looked a lot better than you do today. And what I'm saying is, this flesh is getting no better because this is sinful flesh. And we don't have time this morning. If you go to Galatians 5, the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you've got this battle going on all the time in you, that is good evidence that you're saved. It's a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. You know what you got to do? You got to keep short accounts of your sin with the Lord Jesus Christ and confess them so you can maintain that fellowship. So when I go back to Leviticus and I see over there unleavened and then leavened, you know what I see? I am in Romans 12 to offer myself as a living sacrifice. I'm alive in this flesh, physically. But this flesh is dead when it comes to anything spiritual. But I have somebody in me, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is as alive as could be. You see, there's kind of a contradiction. Living sacrifice, but it's not a contradiction. This is the way the Lord intended it to be. Here I am in a body that is sinful flesh, yet me and anybody in here, this is what God uses to get His truth to people in this world, isn't it? Sinful people that have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So now you see the unleavened. Part of me is without sin. Nobody can touch my soul. You can't touch my soul. No sin can touch my soul. But my flesh is full of sin. So I got to continually reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So you see that whole thing with the leaven and unleavened. One place to conclude here. Go to Hebrews. You're not too far away. Go to Hebrews 13. And once again, hopefully you see this connection with the Old Testament in Leviticus and the New Testament. Now, specifically, when you're in Hebrews, Hebrews is kind of like your New Testament book of Leviticus. It talks about how the sacrifice made by our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is far better than any of those sacrifices offered in the Old Testament. So go to Hebrews 13 and 15. I think this is a great place to end, considering the time of year we are. Look at Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What's the next word, folks? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And there's a whole lot we can say about that. But God wants me and you today, New Testament times, the church age, He wants me and you to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Continually, all the time. How do you do that? How do you do that? The verse tells you. That is the fruit of our lips giving, what's the word? Giving thanks to His name. So you see all that stuff in the Old Testament. There's a connection here. Remember that unleavened bread? Picture the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the oil being a picture of the Spirit of God. You know what the Lord wants for saved people? He wants His Word to be in you. And He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that when you open your mouth and God pours you out, His Word and His Spirit are made manifest. And when that happens, one of the things that will happen is right there in that verse. The fruit of our lips giving what? Giving thanks to His name. Hey, if you got the peace of God, you got to be thankful. Amen? If you got the peace of God, you got to be thankful. And I gave you a couple things to be thankful for this morning to start. Your salvation, God's Word, God's Spirit. Now, you can surely go from there and give some more, can't you? You got everybody in here, give some personal things you're thankful for. You got a spouse? Thank God for your spouse. You got a place over your head, a roof over your head? Thank God for that. You got something to eat this afternoon? Did you have something to eat last night? Thank God for that. See, we're spoiled people. Thank God for what He gave you because He didn't have to. Folks, how about we do this? This week, make it a high priority, if you're saved, to give, look at verse 15 again, to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to it, to His name. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such, what is it? What's the word? Sacrifices, God is well pleased. See, I know that we don't have to offer animal sacrifices anymore. Amen to that. But according to what I just read in verses 15 and 16, God wants me to offer a sacrifice, and it's got to do with what comes out of my mouth to Him and to other people. So let's pray together this morning. I'm going to ask a few questions as you bow your head here before we do that. Spoke of the law this morning. And we all need to think about where we stand before God based on His law. If you're guilty before God, you've broken His law, then you owe Him something. But the Lord, the second point we had, made a way for you. He offered Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ offered Himself. His broken body, His death, burial, resurrection made it possible for sinful people to be made righteous before God. And I'll just ask you this question. You don't need to answer out loud, but are you righteous before God right now? Or are you a guilty sinner before God right now? Which camp are you in? If you're a guilty sinner before God right now, acknowledge what the Lord did for you so you can walk out of here free from sin, cleansed from your sin, as we read about. Last thing we talked about this morning was leaven, and this is the tough one. You got any leaven that's made its way into your life? We said leaven can be a picture of sin. Folks, purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Maybe there's a time here this morning you need to take some time to get things right with the Lord and allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you, or else that leaven will continually grow, and it'll affect all of you, not just part of you. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for what you gave us this morning from your words. What a thing to look in the Old Testament and see how the Lord Jesus Christ made the greatest sacrifice that could ever be made on our behalf. And us a bunch of sinners, we're so undeserving, Lord. I pray that all of us here deal honestly with you this morning concerning our sin, concerning this thing about leaven, and may we have some things in our life that we need to take care of. I pray that everybody here would take care of that now and not put it off. And I just pray here, if anybody's unsaved in our presence, that today they'd understand what you did on their behalf so they can walk out of here cleansed from their sin. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.